Brothers and sisters and friends who are joining us today, last Thursday, we watched a very, very helpful and fun and also informative video on Christ in the Passover. And on that night, we learned that God had a plan in mind to save us from our sins, just as he had saved the Israelites from Egypt. And he had provided a lamb for them to kill and take the blood and place over their doorposts in three different places, shaped really in the shape of a cross that was pointing toward Jesus dying on the cross, because he would be the lamb whose blood would be poured out for all of mankind. On Friday night, we came together to hear the passion of Jesus Christ, how he was betrayed, how he was given over to the authorities, how he was given an unjust trial and then crucified instead of a person who was more deserving and who had committed a real crime. Jesus, without any crime, was the one that his own people demanded be crucified on the cross. And so he went to that cross and he was killed. The Lamb of God sacrificed on that cross for all of mankind. We also know from the Bible that Joseph of Arimathea asked for his body. He was one of his disciples, and he took the body down from the cross, and he wrapped it in linen, and he brought it into a tomb that he had prepared for him. He rolled this massive stone in front of the grave, and then he left there. But we also know that the authorities from the Jewish leaders went, and they demanded that a guard be put in front of the tomb where Jesus was laid. And they also demanded that there be a seal there. And that would have been a Roman seal that was wrapped around the tomb stone with a rope, so that if anyone broke it, they would know. And it's really quite sad and very dramatic to read that they had said this imposter claimed that he would be raised from the dead after 3 days. And we don't want anybody from his disciples to come and take the body away and claim that he had risen from the grave. What could be more dramatic than all of these things leading up to today on Easter Sunday, when we know the story and we heard the words that were read that described this amazing scene where Mary Magdalene, the one who loved Jesus so much, and she was there to see them take the body and put it into the tomb, right? And she comes back, and on the first day of the week, she comes early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb, right? And so she doesn't know what's going on. She's thinking, oh, somebody has taken away our Lord from the tomb. And so she goes and tells the disciples, and they come running. Peter and the other disciple, we assume it was John, and they look, right? And then they leave that place, and she stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. We read from verse 11, and she saw two angels in white. Now take a moment, everyone, and think about the contrast that we see in this story here from the time on Good Friday when people were screaming, crucify him, his own people. And now, what do we meet? We meet two angels. And so this whole scene has taken on a much different kind of a character than that of the one where mankind was screaming for the Son of God to be killed. But here is only light. Here is only light. The darkness is gone. Death is overcome by Jesus Christ. And the grave has also been overcome by Jesus Christ. We sang that so vividly with that song during the praise. Thank you, Patsy and Chu, for bringing that song. Right? And so he has overcome death. He has overcome the grave. Right? So Mary Magdalene is confused, and these angels go up to her and they say, why are you weeping? And she says, well, they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they have laid him. And then she turns around. And it's even better. The Lord Jesus is standing there, right? And he says to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Now this is the Jesus that she had known to come and to relieve her and to heal her from demons that had possessed her during her lifetime. She was very close to Jesus. She loved him so much. And he loved her, right? He loved his disciples. He loved his followers. He loved the people that were close to him like Mary, right? But she was in all of this confusion, and we can only think how, you know, understandable it would be to be confused and not to really notice that it was Jesus. She had seen him on the cross, bloodied and really beyond any kind of recognition of himself, really actually of a human being. And then she had, that was her last image of him on the cross, and the shock and all of these different things of seeing her, him die like that and then be put into the tomb and then come afterwards and go to the grave and not find him there. And she was thinking, oh no, the body is gone. But no, angels come and the scene takes on this character of heaven, right? Of light, conquering darkness. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has occurred, and she turns around, and there he is. And she supposes him to be a gardener, because she's so amazed, and she's so confused, right? Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Right? It's amazing. He had never said her name like this before. Because there's so much in that one naming of Mary there to bring Mary into realization that her Lord was not taken away, but was risen from the dead, just as he had said that he would be. Well, he had said to her, why are you weeping? And I really feel that the Lord wants us to think about this today, especially at a time that we are living in, when there is much weeping, there is much crying going on in the world around us. And I believe that God wants each one of us listening to his word today to listen attentively to a God who himself wipes away our tears, and his son Jesus wipes away our tears as well. Well, Mary needed to know that her Savior who loved her was no longer dead, so that she could no longer cry tears of remorse. Right? We know that she needed to know he was alive, right? And so Jesus appeared to her and showed her that, right? She didn't need to cry tears of remorse anymore because he was there. Why are you weeping? Right? There must have been also a sense that Jesus was saying, I told you so. I told you I'd be back. I told you I'd be risen from the dead, right? Why are you weeping? There's no need now. The Savior is here. But she also needed to know that Jesus was to go to his Father and her Father, his God and her God, right? And Jesus was telling her this as well. She needed to know that Jesus Christ was not the same as he was when he was living on this earth before that, right? He has now come back from the grave in a glorified state, right? He is the risen Savior. She wasn't just merely faced with the Jesus she knew before the cross, but the living, victorious Son of God who had fulfilled his Father's work on the cross and was returning to glory now to be at the right hand of God in heaven. A much greater power stood before her now. This power of the resurrected Christ, this glorified Jesus Christ stood there. One that was the risen Christ. It says in Romans 1, verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? You can read that in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can we all say that? Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the Lord who is resurrected. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. He is victorious. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he reigns there. Amen. In Acts 3:24, Peter said, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Get into that. Get into that the vivid language there that is being used. He raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it's not possible for him to be held by it. Amen? Raised up by God. Raised up by God. Well, as we look at the resurrection and we look at the wiping away of tears, I'd like to offer three different ways, actually four different ways that we can look at the wiping away of tears today. And the first one begins with wiping away tears that are shed from disappointment and loneliness. Jesus wipes away tears that are shed from disappointment and loneliness. And Mary certainly was lonely and disappointed because her Savior was not there in the tomb when she went there, right? And she was feeling lonely and panicked, and she runs to tell her fellow disciples, and then she comes back and she's standing there when they leave and she's looking around, and then it happens, right? And there's this comfort that comes to her. Why are you weeping? There's no need for tears because I'm here. And I've risen from the dead, just as I told you. We have the comfort of knowing that death has no hold on Jesus Christ, and therefore not on us. Amen? We have no need for tears because death has no hold on us, because Jesus has risen from the dead. He's wiped away our tears. He's washed away our sins. What a Savior. Why does Jesus come and have that kind of effect on us? Well, some of the scriptures tell us the reason, but we know that he has a feeling for us because he lived here. And he understands that we have disappointment in life. He understands that we feel lonely. We know that on that Good Friday night, he was the loneliest one in the entire story because God had forsaken him in that moment. Why have you forsaken me? And there was no answer, because he had to die for mankind. It was God's will that he did because of his love for you and for me. What a God we have. What a Savior. What a great day it is today to celebrate our Lord, right? Let me read you some verses here from Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you're disappointed, if you're lonely, you only need to have Christ Jesus as your Savior. Receive him, follow him, and know that you have a high priest who has lived here and understands the way that you feel, because he lived here without any kind of sin. But he knows what we need. He understands our situations, and he comforts us in those moments. His Father, in 2 Corinthians 1:13, we know that his Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. That his Father is a God of all comfort. And so this is what we have coming to us. We have a Father in heaven, and we have Jesus Christ comforting us. And we know that the Bible also teaches us in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit is sent to be an encourager and a comforter to us. Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Be encouraged, be comforted. Know that God is there for you and wants you to know that he will wipe away your tears and give you this life. Number two, Jesus wipes away tears to restore us to the Father, to reconcile us. We just read that in Romans 8:11, right? The Bible teaches us there is no condemnation, right? For those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Where we don't have to fear being condemned. He is here to reinstate us, to love us, and to bring us into the presence of Almighty God. Colossians 1:21-22 is one of my favorite parts of the New Testament, because it says this: "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." What a Savior we have. And listen, it goes on from there in chapter 2 of Colossians. These are also some of my favorite verses. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." God triumphed over those people who stood at the foot of the cross and mocked Jesus. He triumphed over the rulers and authorities that sent Jesus to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities of the evil realm of Satan himself and put them to open shame. How? By his son hanging on a cross. That is our Savior. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in his weakness, he had power to overcome any authority. He is the only authority, by triumphing over them. Hallelujah. That's all in our Bible to read and to remind ourselves of. And this restoration to God the Father through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross means that we are comforted from sin, and sin drags us down. There are so many people that take their lives in this world each year, each day, because they are burdened with the sorrow of their sins. Why? I cannot overcome the things that I've done wrong in my life. And God says, I will have none of it. I will have none of it. You are my beloved, and I have sent my son to die for you. Now live and live in his life. We are comforted from disappointment. Are you disappointed in life? Have you lost something or someone in your life? Jesus Christ died on the cross and is resurrected to instill you with his life and his comfort. Comforted in wounds. Have you been wounded by someone? Are you wounded right now? The power of the resurrection overcomes any wounds that we have. We see that Jesus' wounds were great, even to take his life, and his wounds were terrible, so that he was not even recognizable as whom he was. And yet he came back in glory and stood before Mary, who could not believe that he could possibly look like that, having been destroyed by humankind, but his wounds were erased, they were gone, and they were replaced with glory. He was raised up from the grave and given life by the Father through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is what God does to a broken life, to a wounded life, one that feels that there's no one to love them. That is a falsehood. That is nothing to believe. That is the opposite of the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he says, "You are my precious creation, and I have come so that you would not be condemned, but be living for me. And I'm going to use you as my servant." Number 3, he wipes away tears to strengthen us boldly and to make us fit for the work of his kingdom. Mary was wanting to fall down at Jesus, as she had probably during her lifetime. And he said, "Please don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father," right? And he tells her not to touch him. But what does he tell her to do? "Go, tell the disciples, tell them that you saw me," right? And that is what we need to do as well. God comes in and he stands by us. He sends Jesus and Jesus comforts us. He wants to be there to take our tears away, to wipe them away so that we can be comforted and to know that we are loved. But then what does he do? He says, now it's time. Why? Because your tears are wiped away, for you to stand up and go and be my disciples to this world where people are crying just as you were, and let them know that I am there for them and that I can help them. I can take away their sins and I can restore their life and give them also the work that was prepared for their lives even before the beginning of our time. Encouragement to live for him now and be done with sin. Be done with sin. Let's hear some scriptures here in Colossians 3:1-4. If you then who have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are from above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And Paul was speaking of that. And what did he want to do? He wanted to be like Jesus in his death, meaning he would give up his own life to be able to go and to tell other people about Jesus Christ. His life was given up for the kingdom work, for the mission work that he was given by Christ. And that is what God gives to us as well. We are not to linger in this kind of a state where we are going to be comforted by Jesus and just stay there and without the tears. We are to stand up and through his strength go boldly and proclaim the good news to other people. Amen. That is what God, and a parent would do that as well. They would tell a child, okay, are you all right now? Let me comfort you. Let me hold you in my arms. Let's wipe away those tears now. Get up. Are you ready to go now? Yes, mommy. Yes, daddy. I'm ready to go now. Thank you, mommy. Thank you, daddy. And they're off they go. And that is what Jesus does for Mary as well. He stands her up and says, go now. Tell the disciples. Tell other people. And her name is remembered in the Bible as being someone who did that. And so it is great for us to hear that from Jesus Christ here, that we are to, in these times, yes, we are going through difficulties. Yes, we are going to endure suffering in this world. Yes, there are going to be times of loss. Yes, there are going to be times when we become sick. Yes, there's times when we are in fear. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Right? Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We have the assurance of eternal life so that we can go out even in times of fear and we can proclaim his name, knowing that our future is secure in heaven. And that it brings us to the last point here. He wipes away tears for eternity. When Christ's returned, once and for all, tears of discouragement, of loneliness, of hurt, all the things that cause us pain are going to be gone forever. And that is what we read in Isaiah 25:8, which came from our call to worship today, everyone. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Amen. Those are words that people need to hear today. You may not be able to fully understand them, but bring them to people. Let them see that God of the Bible is one who is bringing a day about where there will be no more tears. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And it is for all who believe in Jesus Christ. It goes on in that verse to say, the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. That they will, their reproach, people are feeling that they are unloved today. They're reaching out and saying, does anybody care about me? And the answer is, yes, there is. And his name is Jesus. And you can be without reproach and you can have a surety that even if people on this earth let you down, that you have God, the one who has given you life and has made you beautiful the way that you are. And you are worthy in his eyes, no matter what happens. And when you give your life to him, it is going to be secure forever. And you're going to witness seeing him, not just reading about him, but seeing him face to face. In Revelation 21:4, we read this last week in the high school Sunday school. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Another one, everybody, that you need to have at hand for yourself first, and then to pass on. The Bible is not meant for our own lives alone. It is meant to pass on and to go and to bring out into the nations, into the county that we live in, into the neighborhoods that we live in. It is meant for people to hear. How are they going to know if it is not preached to them? Messengers of God are disciples of God. We are not meant just simply to take these words to heart for ourselves, but to say, I have to take this word. This is so good. I need to bring it to those who need to hear it. And so everyone, just as to recap, we can think again. Wipe away tears that are shed from disappointment and loneliness to comfort us, right? We have someone who understands how we feel because he was here. He lived here. And he knows us well because he gave us life. Secondly, he wipes away tears to restore us to the Father, to wipe away the tears that are caused over our own sins through loss, through wounds, through disappointment, all of these things. He reconciles us and the sins are gone. The sins are gone and you are restored into the Father's loving arms that you once were separated from. What a great God. Number three, he wipes away tears to enable us, strengthen us boldly for the work of his kingdom so that we can be his messengers to this broken world. In the midst of all the tragedy we're going through, we are his messengers. Right? And number four, he wipes away tears for eternity. There is coming a day, and we read it here in the Bible, and God's word is trustworthy, that there's coming a day when there will be no more tears. There will be no more crying. There will be no more war. There will be no more death. There will be no more sun and moon because we have the light of God and his glory. That is the God who sent his son into the world, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he is. And he remains that way because he's alive and he's still the light. And the great thing about Jesus is that he wants us, these broken people that sin against him all the time, not to be down in those things, but to receive the forgiveness that he has brought about for us and to go and go and to go. Will you go? Will you take the gospel? Will you bring it to people? Take the words that he's wiping away the tears of all of the humankind and he's replacing it with his loving arms. Can they feel the embrace? Bring it to them. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are great. Thank you that you are risen. Thank you that you are greater than any authority. Thank you that you reign in heaven now and that you're coming again so that you will reign in the eternal kingdom that you have prepared. Thank you that you have prepared a place for us in heaven. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the words that give us so much encouragement, that lift us out of the things that we're going through. Lord, lift us out. Heal us, Lord, through your mighty resurrection power. And then help us to go. Help us to go, Lord, and comfort those around us, to comfort and bring your comfort to this broken world. Lord, let us be your light. Let your light shine. We praise you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, from all of our hearts. Amen.